his name.
Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. Thank you for the beautiful day. Thank you for the opportunity to sit under your word, sing praises to your name. Thank you for the word that we have heard already. I pray, dear God, you'd bless Noah, that he would speak the words of life today. Bless him with strength and courage. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, I'm very grateful to be here this morning. Just thinking of what all we heard, it was a pretty sobering call that has gone out this morning already. We all just consider our life and what we heard. If we want life, we've heard an invitation to come and get it. It's been extended this morning. Thank you, brothers. Zachary, well, our memory verses spoke on the seriousness of not loving our brothers. Brother Zachary shared on Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. That's part of the verse. Joash shared a thought. He said, those who died loving and serving God, these people, the faithful believers, those who died loving and serving God. Each one of them spoke something on love this morning, and that's actually what I was going to speak on this morning, is the love of God. The love of God. And James spoke on Jesus having compassion. He loved the people. The love of God. You know, this, as I share this, your mind may go many ways. There's so many scriptures that I won't touch. As I looked into this, you know, it was an inspiration to my life, but it's so vast. The love of God is so vast that I'm barely going to scratch the surface today. We could preach for the next, I don't know how many Sundays, on the love of God, and we still wouldn't exhaust it. I just marvel at the topic. So my desire today is to give you a little glimpse of the love of God. Because that's about all you'll get out of it, from me, is a little glimpse. Because it's inexhaustible. And also, I do want to put this out front, is as I share on the love of God, just as a disclaimer, I don't want us in any way, shape, or form to think that there is a license to sin. Some people, they focus on, they claim the love of God and they live disobedient lives. That's not the love of God. That's not you loving God. So, I just want to put that out there before we start. There's a song, that came to my mind, and my wife shared this. When I asked her about the love of God, she shared the same song with me. And I was thinking of, we can't experience the fullness of God until all on the altar we lay. That's what I was thinking. And then my wife said, there's a song that says, and it's the song Trust and Obey, that says, but we never can prove the delights of his love till all on the altar we lay. You can't experience the fullness of God until you give yourself completely to God. You can't experience it. And so I was just encouraged this morning, and in this past a little while I was meditating on this, the love of God. I can't experience its fullness until I give everything up. And just some thoughts on the love of God. In John, I was thinking of how much God loves us. And I know it's going to be, I'm only going to try to stir our minds in this way, because I can't do it in its fullness. But I was just thinking of just starting back in the beginning. In the beginning, God, He created all things. Then we jump from Genesis to John, the Gospel of John, the first chapter. And it tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This is all talking about Jesus Christ. He was there in the beginning. And that chapter goes on talking about, it talks about John a bit, and then John starts talking about Jesus again. Said he was in the world, and the world, well, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe, referring to the Word of God. He was the light of the world. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. John's saying he wasn't that light, but he was sent to bear witness of him. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Power there means privilege, the liberty, power, the right, the authority. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'll just read a few more verses here. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh that dwelt among us, and we beheld him, beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. I'm going to stop there. Let us share that with us to give us a picture of Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times when we go through life and we're not really thinking much about who Jesus is and who he was and what he sacrificed, we're thankful that he went to the cross. That's good. That's right. But I was just thinking of the love of God to me, the love of God extended to each one of us. He left his home in glory. Would you agree that the scriptures tell us here that he was there in the beginning? Jesus Christ left his home in glory for me. He did that for me. That's love. God sent his Son to die for me. That's love. And yet there's so much more of that that could be expounded on. God sent his Son for me. He came from glory. He left everything behind to come here. It says he came down. He came down. You know, I was thinking of what for illustration could we have for our own minds? It's not going to compare very well at all, but I was thinking of you and I here. One of us could, we could have All that the comforts of this world could offer, all the wealth of this world could offer you. And that could be you, living life in its most comfortable stage. Everything is always at your fingertips. You have it made, so to speak. And you look and you see a third world country, and you get a heartbeat for them. You get a burden for them. And you say, you know what? I'm going to send my son to that place to help them. And so the son, he leaves everything that he's ever known to go to some place that is less than desirable. I know it pales in comparison, but that's just a little picture of God. He sent his son to a much worse condition than that, than what we could even do. But he left the glory, the splendor of heaven to come down. And you know what? He came down to our level. He came down to our level. When Jesus came, he didn't come as an earthly king. But he came down and he could relate to us. James said about these children, this multitude that was hungry. And Jesus, he was moved with compassion, it says. He was moved. This feeling inside of him, compassion, that feeling that motivated him to do something about these people. These people were hungry. And he was moved with compassion. He fed them. He came down to their level. People flocked to him. Why? Because he could relate to them. He was on their level. Think about it. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came down to our level. The love of God. The love of God. I had to think of earthly this parallel I tried to give. But I had to think of many missionaries go to these third world countries. And their hearts are to go help them. Make a difference for them. Give them a better way. Show them the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Oftentimes, there's a lot of trials when they get there. Your stuff gets stolen to the people that you're trying to win. It just seems like there's an unappreciation. You just feel discouraged. These are testimonies from people that have gone. And I marvel at that because Jesus left his home in glory, and we have a written account of how he was treated. And we can hardly handle that sometimes when we get wronged in the mission field. You know, we got to set this record straight. Otherwise, we're just going to keep doing it. Jesus never did that. He just took it and showed them his love. He took all the accusations and showed nothing but love in return. I know that's a very pale comparison, but it can stir in our hearts sometimes an emotion of possibly what he felt at times. Because it says he was tempted. He was tried in all areas like we were. So I'm sure he had those feelings, but he chose to show love. That's why he came, and to offer life. You know, not only did he leave his home in glory, not only did he do that, not only did he leave the comforts that he had, but he brought himself to a place of a very low place on this earth, to where he was born as a baby. Think about it. He was there in the beginning, and he came so low for me to show me love, to show me that he put value in my life. You know, not only was he born as a baby, but as time went on, he was rejected by his family. He was rejected by the people that studied the scriptures and shouldn't, and they knew that there was a Savior coming, but he was rejected by them. No, we're waiting for the Messiah. He was rejected to the point where he was mocked. He was mocked. He was Lord of Lords and King of Kings. They put a crown on his head. They dressed him in a king's apparel. And they mocked him. They worshiped him. But it wasn't pure worship. The love of God to me. They scourged him. I'm thinking it's, I can't think of where it's at in the Old Testament, but that it gives a picture of his back as a plowed field. That was for me. They put a crown of thorns on his head. You know, we can say that pretty easy. They put a crown of thorns on his head. But you know, when I cut a tree down, I think they're called honey locusts, and there's maybe one called black locust. I think it's what they're called. But they got thorns on them. I mean, that long, some of them longer. You step on one, it will go through the bottom of your shoe. It'll flatten a tractor tire. Them things are sharp, and they hurt. And then one of them has something that releases in you when you get pricked by it, one of them does, and that burns, irritates you. And so when I think of that crown of thorns, I don't think of, it's just a crown of thorns. I picture that tree, and I made myself a crown out of that, and these big spikes sticking out everywhere. And I think it gives, I can't remember right now, but I was thinking that it says they smote him on the head, right? Yeah. These big sharp thorns. Whether it was a light tap or a hard whack, that's besides the point. Because I know those things that I had at home, you barely touched yourself and it was in. The pain, the blood. It was excruciating. But that was for me. That was for me. The death on the cross, the most despicable way to die, a death of shame for me. Then he was buried, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, buried in the earth. But you know, friends, that was all for me. You know what else is for me? Is he didn't stay there. Praise God, he didn't stay there. He rose again. He defeated death in the grave. That's for me too. That power of the resurrection is for me. And so when I think of the love of God equals power in my life. That's what it translates to. When I think of the love of God, it's power in my life. He has risen. The grave was not able to hold him. Death and the grave are defeated. You know, if we die, faithful believers, the grave isn't going to hold you. Death isn't keeping you. Hallelujah. I don't know if you can, but I can feel the love of God towards me. I go through difficult times. When I focus on the love of God, it changes the way I go through that difficult time. the love of God. You know, he said, I'm going to go. And when I go, I'm going to send a comforter. I'm not going to leave you alone. You're not going to have to trudge through this life alone. My spirit will dwell in you, and it'll comfort you. It'll direct you. It'll empower you. Isn't that awesome? He did that for me. That's the love of God to me. The love of God is power in my life. Keep that in your minds as you go through life. The love of God is power to you. A picture come to my mind. You know, too often we get this picture. We miss the love of God. We miss the great picture of the love of God. And we get this picture that, yeah, God loves me. But if I do this or this, God's going to be angry with me. That's a wrong mindset. If we get a hold of the love of God, that's what motivates you. That's what inspires you. That's what keeps you going. If you trade that for this thought of, God's not going to be happy with me if I do this. The smallest thing. I'm not talking about gross sin. The small thing. Oh, God probably won't go. You're trading it. That's wrong thinking. Think about the love of God to you. Think about it. The love of God to me. He loved us first, that we might love Him. If this love relationship is flowing, it's not, God's going to be angry with me. Jesus says, I do those things that please the Father. That's the heart we'll have. That's the heart we'll have. Not the heart that, oh, I don't know if He's going to be happy with me. Do you understand that? Does that make sense? The love of God is power in my life. But if we have that wrong concept in our mind, we become powerless. We become fearful of God. We're uncertain. We go through life. But if we have the vision, the picture, and the relationship with God, the love of God, all that He did for me. He left His home in glory for me. He did it all for me. Not so He can sit there and have crippling fear on my life. No, He did it that I would stand in awe and reverence towards a holy God. That I'd fall on my face before Him. A holy God, my Father. That's why He did it. For that relationship to prosper. And you know what? That gives me power to be an overcomer. The love of God in my life gives me power to be an overcomer. Because it's flowing. I am the vine and you are the branches. You can't bear precious fruit unless you're hooked up to Him. Bear precious fruit for Him today. But it happens as it's, that love is flowing. We can do that. I was thinking of it, the love of God and this Father-Son relationship. And I was thinking of going through life. And you know, as we go through life, there's times we falter. There's times we stumble. There's times we just flat out fall. The love of God never condemned me. And I was thinking of this journey in life. And every time I thought of us falling, I thought of my relationship with my children. My heart is never to condemn them, but tell them, get up. The love of God. And I heard this account a long time ago, but I was thinking of that. And then my thought went to this boy that was running a race one day. And his dad was in the audience. This boy's running. He's giving it his all. His dad's cheering him. Go, son. Go. Keep running. Go. His dad didn't care if he was last, if he was in the middle, or if he was first. He said, just keep going. Go. The son stumbles and he falls. And he's thinking, I might as well quit. Get up, son. Go. Finish the race. His dad's hollering, go. It happened a number of times. And the dad's response was the same each time. Get up. Get up. Go. It's okay, son, if you fall. Just get up and run. It's okay. I don't care if you finish last, son. I just want you to finish. Run. Run. He says, I love you, son. Just get up and run. Finish the race. Go. I love you. The love of God to me. That's God's love to me. And my encouragement to each one of us here, if you don't have the right perspective of the love of God, stop. Stop. And think about it. Meditate on it. And get it. It'll change your life. That dad never said, son, you are so clumsy. I can't believe you. You might as well quit. Never. Get up. Run. Finish. He didn't care where he came in. He just wanted him to come in. We're on life's journey. We're on that race. God wants us to finish well. Yes, he does. He wants us to finish. And if we have the wrong concept of the love of God, we'll find ourselves powerless. We'll find ourselves, when it says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, we'll find ourselves without reverence towards God. Just, oh boy, did I do wrong? Am I really going to make it now? Friends, we need the love of God. We need to see it in its pure way that God intended it. He wants to pour out his love to us. He has. But he wants us to pour our adoration and praise and love back to him. Get our motivation from him. And he wants us to run the race with his power and his might. It's his love to us. You know, it says here in Psalms 103, it says that like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Gives you that father relationship, that picture of a loving God. God doesn't wink at sin. That's not at all what I'm promoting. But friends, those of us that are desiring to live victorious lives, those of us that are desiring that, we need to look at God as a loving Father. We need to look at him that way. We need to commune with him that way. We need to come to him in that way. And we can find power to be victorious. He's full of love. He's compassionate. He's full of tender mercies. And he tells us he wants our love back to him. When I think of the love of God, it causes a great reverence in my heart. It does something to me. When I think of a loving father, he's not critical, he's not harsh. God has many attributes, but this is how he wants us to relate to him, as a just, holy father. Think of the power that will come into your life if you have the right view of the love of God. Sin, it's not an option because of his judgment, but because of the love that he showed you, and you love him in return. That's why sin's not an option. Not because you fear his judgment, but because of what it cost. The love that he showed us. He first loved us that we might love him. It says we love him because he first loved us. I find much strength and refreshment in just meditating on the love of God. Because He wants that free will relationship with us. Knowing that my sins in the past have been dealt with, and I find power. I find power in God to overcome. And I can testify that I can find power in God to overcome. In my life, I had a vile tongue. I had a drinking habit. The love of God cleansed me from that. The love of God brought me to a place of repentance and filled me. I don't have desires for these things. If we have the right view of the love of God, it removes the license to sin. It pains you to see someone else fall into sin and live in sin. It gives us overcoming power. The love of God produces humility in our lives. The love of God produces humility in our lives. We know, as we see God, this holy God, creator of universe, yet our Father, and he's all-knowing, and we have this high picture, this high and lofty view of God, and then we see who are we. Who are we? And we also see that God knows us. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. That's our life. That's our life. And if we have the right view of God and his holiness, his the awesome picture of the love of God and who he really is for us, it creates a humility in our lives. We know that we are but dust. How can I look down my nose at another when I have this flowing relationship with God? How can I do that? The thing of it is I can't. I can't. It's when I start losing my focus is when I do that. Pride comes in. Humility is all on the altar we lay. That's humility. Humbling ourselves and putting it all on the altar. Lord, here am I. All of me. Every aspect, every desire, I'm here. Yielded to him. Not my will, but thine be done. Jesus Christ, our example. When pain comes in our lives, we want justice. That's not right. That needs to be made right. But God, He takes care of that. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all those that are oppressed. God takes care of that. Instead, we get the heart of Jesus Christ. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. It hurts, Lord. It hurts really bad. But they don't know what they're doing, Lord. They're missing life. They're missing that vibrant connection with You. Forgive them. Humility. Meekness would go along with that. We can extend the very thing that God extends to us is forgiveness. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. And then it says, the Lord pities His children. So the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. You know, we can actually pity those that hurt us. We can feel bad for them. We can have compassion for them. But you know, not until we experience the love of Christ. Not until we have that fully in our lives. Because otherwise we can't extend that. We can say it, but deep down here it's not reality. It's not. I'll hold it against them. The love of God will help us to be a meek and humble person. When I think of being a meek person, you know, you want justice sometimes. That's not right. Straighten up. I think one of my sons a number of years ago gave me this definition of meekness. He said it's like a whirlwind of force coming as a gentle breeze. A whirlwind of force coming as a gentle breeze. It's power under control. It's like a tornado, but yet all you're getting is a gentle breeze. The love of God will give us power to be meek. The gift of that love of God in my life, it helps me be an overcomer. I don't want to sin because of the love that the Father has shown me, not because there's judgment. It helps me too. I'm just going to name a few things that we as people battle with. The love of God helps me to not be a whisperer, not be gossiping. The love of God, it'll give me a check in here. No, don't do that. Don't do that. It'll keep me from backbiting. It'll help me be compassionate when I feel like I need justice. It helps me to not be an angry person. It helps me to not be bitter or unforgiving. The love of God will do that for me. It helps me to refrain from worldly appetites. It helps me to not seek after riches, to keep the mindset we're pilgrims and strangers. We're passing through. We're not taking with us all the things that we collect here, friends. I'm not taking anything with me. But you know, this thing is very easy to fall into. Contentment, it's hard to find it sometimes. And we find ourselves living lavish lives. But what does the love of God say to that? God, how do you view that? Well, He puts a little check. Well, I kind of... No, if I love God, that little check that comes, I'm going to say, yes, I need to look at that. I'm going to view that in an honest way in my life. The love of God flowing to me and me loving Him will do that. It helps me to have open hands to help others. You know, love is a motivating force. It empowers people to not quit. It empowers people who want to just give up to not. There's a story of a homeless man. I just read an article in the Remnant here. This homeless man, says he was in an alley sitting on a pile of trash and tears were falling. He's like, I don't know how I got here through difficult circumstances or whatever. But he didn't. Some people are homeless because of they want to be. It's a choice they make. But this man, it wasn't that. And he's like, nobody cares. Nobody even wants to help me. Nobody. And he left that alley and he went out the street and he started wandering down. And he come to a church and he sat down at the steps. Shoes untied, snow's falling. He tries to tie his shoes. His hands are numb. Doesn't get very tight. And all of a sudden, a sweet voice stops, breaks his silence, and somebody's tying his shoe. And then somebody takes off a neck scarf, wraps it around him, and walks away. And a little bit later, that same somebody comes out of a cafe with a hot bowl of soup and gives it to him. And then says, here's the address. If you have any more needs or whatever, here's where I live. 10 years later, those people met again. 10 years later. And it was an interesting way they met. This officer knocks on this lady's door with a picture and says, do you know this man? And she studies the picture and all of a sudden she sees her neck scarf. And she's, yeah. And he says, that's me. That's me. Your kindness kept me from giving up. Your kindness inspired me to go on in life to make a difference in someone else's life. And that heart, that just touched my heart because we have homeless people all over. We've got people begging all over. And some, they're making a really good living at it. And how to sort through all that? God give you wisdom. But don't shut up. Don't shut up your bowels of compassion. Don't shut those up and hold all that stuff for yourself. Because God is, he's probably more displeased when we do that than when we give to a beggar that we don't know what he's going to do with it. Because God never said, trace down where he's going to spend that before you give. It just smote my heart in a very real way. This story of just showing kindness and making a difference. Love motivates people to keep going. Love will also help me to have an ear to hear. Sometimes people can be talking to me and I'm not really hearing. And I have thoughts I want to say back. But love motivates me to have an ear to hear. A heart to care. And another thought that I had here is love. The love of God is not suspicious. The love of God is not suspicious. As people, you hear something or you see something, like, whoa, and you just saw it one time, and right away your mind's like, it's suspicious of that, you know. You follow what I'm saying? Or are we not that way as people? We are. We can get really suspicious of people. But the love of God's not that way. And God tells us in John that if we're loving him, that we should love our brother as well. And loving our brothers takes away all suspicion. We don't hold that brother like, you know, Nate just come out of the carryout the other day. And I'm not thinking at all that Nate's got a drinking problem. My first thought is, okay, he's got a gospel track and he's going to preach to that guy. That's my first thought. He didn't do that. My point is, accusations have come years past that I remember of people accusing brothers of certain things like that. And other brothers just run up and grab him by the shirt collar and say, did you do that? And it's like, the love of God, brothers, is not suspicious of each other. It's not that way. The love of God helps me realize that the Father is for me, not waiting for me to fail to judge me. The kingdom of heaven is behind me to support me. The angels rejoice over one sinner that repents and comes to God. Do you get a picture of the love of God? Does that help at all to refresh that? In my mind, that made such a big, it was such a big inspiration to me to realize that, you know what, God's not there waiting to judge me. But God's there to support me. Get up, son. Run the race. No, don't quit. Don't quit. You can't quit. God wants us to be victorious. But you know, we got to know his love. We're going to have to know His love to experience this. Remember, get up and run. Our Father in heaven is cheering us on. He wants us to finish. The wrong view of the love of God. If I do this, I'm in trouble. No, you're in trouble because you're pulling away from the source of life. That's where you get in trouble. When the vine is here and it's healthy, but you as a branch start pulling away, the nutrients stop. The love is not flowing anymore between the two. You're in trouble because we don't have the right view of God's love. And you know, when we do fall, we stumble. God's just asking us to repent. Get back up, friends. Don't stay there. Get back up and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He'll exalt you in due time. When you repent, you have to humble yourself and you have to acknowledge, Lord, I was wrong. That was wrong of me. Brother, that was wrong. I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry I did that to that brother. That's humility. But that's the love of God coming to us. God wasn't sitting there thinking, I'm going to really get Him for this one. No. It's more the picture I get is His heart's bleeding. Son, no. Don't go this way. There's so much heartache. There's so much pain. No, just go my way. Just go admit that you've done Him wrong. You're going to be free. The love of God is freeing. I am the vine, and He is the branch. He's saying, I am the vine, and we are the branches. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Then He tells us, continue ye in my love. The love of God's important. It's important that we receive the love of God this way between us and God. And it's important that the love of God is going from out from us to others. It ministers life. When trials come, remember, God allows them. They only make us stronger. They only make us stronger. Don't start thinking God's against me, God's upset with me. No. God sometimes allows us to walk in a valley where we can't just sense His presence all the time. You don't have that overwhelming feeling. But you know what we do have? We've got God's Word. We've got the truth of God's Word. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. All He's asking us to do is keep being faithful in that which you know. And that valley will soon go by. You'll soon be through it. Just remember, those things make us stronger. The picture that we have is if we remove all the trials and challenges that our children face, what do you have when you've got an adult? You got somebody that can't face anything in life. He can't stand on his own two feet because back here, oh, no, no, I don't want that hard thing happening to him. Oh, no, I'll do that for you. He's never learned to weather the trials of life. And God allows us to go through some of these things. And oftentimes, He's preparing us for something that lies ahead. He's preparing us for something that we may go through yet and that we can be strong enough to handle that. Just remember, nothing can separate you from the love of God. You have to set aside your feelings and stand on the Word of God. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What can separate you? Nothing. Nothing. I can withdraw from the love of God. But nothing. Nothing can deter us. Nothing. nothing. I asked various people, how do you describe the love of God? And some of these thoughts I shared come from those people. A little piece here and a little piece there. But not one person could sit there and say, here's the love of God right here. It's all right here. Yeah, you could say Jesus and you would cover it. But to give some descriptions more specific, no one could sit there and say, oh, it's like this. It's because it's so big. It's because it's so big. This is just a small glimpse. And I hope that today you could see the love of God as a powerful force in your life that can change you. All your desires that are ungodly, He can take them away. I can testify of that. He can take them away and give you power to not live that way. He's got the power to forgive all our sin. He's got the power that we can love one another when sometimes we challenge each other and we feel like being at odds with each other and fighting. But we can get power from God to love, to embrace that. Do you see the love of God as a powerful force in your life? Just want to, there's a song, "The Love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. When hoary time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints' and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." I don't know about you, but I know I come up very limited in trying to describe the love of God. My encouragement to each one of us that we could go on, run this race, and experience the love of God as an empowering force in our lives, and have that relationship, that vibrant relationship with Him, that we don't look at sinning or being disobedient to His commandments or that type of thing as, oh, what's God going to think? Oh, what's judgment? No, we look at it as, oh, the love of God. How can I do that? How can I do that? That heartbeat. It's an empowering force. Do you see the love of God as a powerful force in your life? Friends, remember, get up. Run, my child. I want you to finish. Don't stop until you make it home. God loves you.